All right, it's an early edition of the Audible on this Friday afternoon. Getaway day, right?
Getaway.
Got a getaway day. Get out of town, man. It's the summertime. Everybody's gone. The team's on vacation. Coaches are on vacation. Not a goddamn thing going on. We're getting out of town, so we're here early at 2 o'clock. Kimbo Camper, Joe Rose with you. And Joe, I haven't seen you in a while, man.
I know.
I've been doing a little traveling, and you've been kind of holding the fort over here. So, But not much going on right now. This is the doldrums, man.
It is. It's outside of the Jarvis Landry, waiting to see if he gets his contract done here before camp starts.
And Joe, what are your thoughts on that, on Jarvis?
I love the way he's handled it so far.
I think they both kind of handled it the right way. I think they're working on it, I would assume, behind the scenes. And Jarvis came out last week and said, hey, look, I'm not going to – you either do it before the season. Once the season starts, I don't know anything about it. But as I said, I had Alan Poupard the other day. I said, well, you know, if come week four they drop a big check out there and say, hey, are you interested in this?
I'll change.
I'll talk about it a little
right.
bit then.
Of course he will.
Yeah.
Why would you want to play without the big contract?
Yeah.
If you have a chance to get it even during the season.
Absolutely.
Takes the pressure off. I think you play maybe consciously. You're not worried about getting hurt maybe a little bit. You play a little bit harder. You let it go.
This is my opinion, and this is solely my opinion. It's not from talking to anybody. It's not from anything. I just think that the Dolphins feel like Jarvis has some room for improvement. They're a little some things, again, much like everybody on this football team, a little more discipline in some of the things he does. You don't question his skills. You don't question his work ethic. You don't question his ability to play hard each and every day. But you'd like to see him clean up some things. And I kind of think that may be the bone that they're the carrot they're sticking out there. Hey, clean these things up and we'll get this taken care of. So I think it's going to get done. I think it's just a matter of time. I'm with you. I think Jarvis is handling it well. See this thing where Deion Sanders was asked about who would he rather have as a receiver, Julian Edelman or Deion Sanders or Jarvis Landry, and he picked Julian Edelman. I'm getting all the names confused here. He picked Julian Edelman over Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, I get the success because we've seen Edelman so much.
Right. Let's not forget the Tom Brady factor in that, too.
The Tom Brady factor. But listen, he's made big catches in huge games. Yep. He's been a big part of some Super Bowl championships. I understand that. But I'll tell you what, Jarvis Landry, if he take him, Jarvis Landry, 24 years old, only getting better, and he does a lot. Listen, I'm with everything. Nothing but respect for the way he's handled this. He's not threatened with the holdout. He's been here as a leader. He is cleaning up some route running and stuff and understanding schemes and what he needs to do. But, Bo, he's going to get that deal done. I know he trusts Adam Gase.
Yes.
Adam Gase says we're going to get it done.
Yep.
It's just a matter of coming out and trying to figure a price. Either way, can be a very wealthy man when it's done.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, Joe, the other thing, the rookies, the time is out for training camp. Rookies report early on July 20th. The veterans come in 6 days after that. July 26th, and I can remember when...
That's old school.
I remember old school when the rookies would come in. You remember that? But usually it was like 3 or 4 days. I don't remember being 6 days that much, but these guys are coming 6 days early. But I do remember that 3 or 4 day period, and you're thinking, man, you see them on the news, right? And you go, oh, man, that's right around the corner. another couple of days, we're going to be in the pit of hell, man.
You know what's funny? I remember that they brought in all the rookies and the draft picks and the rookie free agents, and there was a bunch of us. We had a scrimmage against the Saints in Vero Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And it came back, and then the veterans were coming in, that feeling of like not really knowing any of the veterans, and they were coming in with their, you know, all these guys that you've watched on TV when you're in college, and it was just really weird. You wanted to impress everybody.
It's funny because those first few days when you're with the rookies, it's just the rookies. So you build a little hierarchy within the rookies, right?
Right.
You know, the cream rises to the top with that group, and so you got the guys that are standing in the front of the line, and they begin to get a little swagger, you know. Hey, you know, hey, I mean, you know, I'm first in line.
Right,
I'm looking at these guys behind me. Then all of a sudden, those vets come in, and you go from here, woo, right down to the bottom. And you talk about guys walking in with swagger. When those vets come walking in, they definitely got a different beat to their march.
And they had old school rules.
Oh, yeah.
Like they made you like, hey, you get your taping done, rookie. You get it done. Hey, I need you to go get this for me. Hey, we need some food, we need some cold beers. You'd go get it.
I remember it was rookies had to get taped first because the vets wanted to sleep a little longer. So the rookies would have to get up early, go in and get taped first before the morning practice so the vets can come in when they want to. And if you were sitting on that table, when a vet came in while you're getting taped, hey, Brooke, off, I'm on.
Half done.
Yep.
Done. You were done. I got to tell you, there were some guys, because I remember like yesterday being a rookie and the guys that were really, just to be nice because we're doing this, really kind of hard asses and were like, hey, I'm dead serious and I'll kick your ass if you don't get up now.
There was
Ralph Ortega, number one.
Former Gator, former Florida
man,
Gator.
Man, I was like, hey, Ralph.
Oh, okay, game of high school star,
You know, started in Atlanta, came down here.
Ralph was a bullshitter. Ralph had no, Ralph was too soft. He had a big bark, but a very
And then
very
another guy,
bite.
Bob Kuchenberg. Oh, yeah, he was old school.
Yeah, no, Cooch, you didn't mess with Cooch. Cooch, you didn't mess with Cooch. No, no, no. Cooch would hit you in the back in practice or something.
Yeah.
Hey, remember I told you about that, Rook?
Those are a couple guys right off the bat that
it was fun turning into a vet, though. After a while, I remember one training camp, we started this. Doug Better started it. Doug turned me on to it, right? You come to training camp, you got all these interns, you know, taping ankles. They're interns into the, you know, they want to be trainers.
Right.
They're taking training, you know, they're in college and they're taking their classes and they're working with their teams there. And then, you know, they come to training camp, they'd bring a bunch of those guys in to work training camp.
Right.
But back then, hell, we'd go to training camp with 120 guys.
That's right.
So you had to have a lot of people in there. And so we'd grab one of those guys. We'd throw them $50 a piece, right? And we'd get a box of tape and we'd put it in our bedroom, in our dorm room. And we'd leave the door unlocked.
And
so the guy would come, you'd hear him tap on the door. You didn't even have to answer. Open the door. He'd tap you on your feet. You just kind of stick your feet out at the end of the bed. He'd pull the covers back, tape your ankles while you were sleeping, walk out the door so you didn't have to worry about getting in line. You didn't have
that
to worry about
that. That is unbelievable. I never knew that. That's great.
I think Doug and I did that for 2 years where we never had to get up and go.
Everything was done. You were totally...
At the end of the bed was
taped up.
At the end of the bed was a box of tape, was a pair of scissors with a little shark, you know, thing to cut it off. You need to cut it off. Everything was right there. All you had to do was pulled up a little chair, sat there, wrapped your ankles, and boom, out the door. You got picked up about another 45 minutes of sleep, which was valuable at that time.
Oh, I just remember getting there early, scared to death at those vets, man. Those guys didn't mess around. They wanted you taped early, and I mean early.
Yep.
And then you go about your business, but you don't want to be in there with those guys because once they walked in, they wanted to be taped right then. Yeah. Like, all right, you're out.
Yeah.
I don't have time to mess around.
Yeah.
Get off the table.
And it could look. It even filtered down. If you were a second year guy and this guy had been around for 10 years, seniority, get off. So there was a.
I don't think it's quite like that now.
I don't think it's quite
initiation
like that.
Stuff is.
Hey, Joe, we spent a lot of time this year talking about Adam Gase, what he did. NFL.com came out with a list of their top NFL coaches. Adam Gase, after 1 year, comes in at 16, Joe. 16 is the top head coaches in the National Football League. No question, Bill Belichick's at number one. And this was the little synopsis they had of Adam Gase. What a feat Gase pulled off in year one. Whether the Dolphins were barely beating the Browns at home amidst a 1-4 start or ripping off 9 wins over the last 11 regular season games of 2016, Gase stayed the course, not changing his tune with players or reporters. The feel you get watching Gase is that he is the smart guy in the room, someone who knows what he has to work with and what he doesn't. The real test this year, can he push Ryan Tannehill's game forward to the point where the offense can lean on the quarterback? Tannehill's knee sprain and the emergence of running back Jay Ajayi kept that from happening in 2016. Let's see what Gase has in store for Tannehill as well as the Patriots in year two. Pretty good, a pretty good commentary on Adam Gase and what he did. And I couldn't say it any better than that was written.
You know, Bo, I had a chance to talk to Adam Gase before he left for vacation for a second, and the message really clear. Like I didn't realize this: more plays, more first downs, more time on the football field for the offense, and that was the number. You consider the amount of points they scored, considering the amount of plays they had dead last in the NFL. I didn't realize that. So it just really hurt their numbers. Offense got to play more.
Yep.
Too many three and outs.
Yep.
And get some drives going and finish them up.
Well, Joe, I'm not going to try to alibi for him or anything, but certainly in the first 4 weeks of the season, that offense was getting no first downs.
Right.
Remember, you'd come out and go, you had 2 first downs, 3 first downs.
Right.
You had no first downs in the first half. I mean, I remember games like that where you're scratching your head going, man, is this offense ever going to get past midfield?
Right.
You know?
I was going back to right off the bat Seattle game, right? And it was tough.
Yeah.
That was tough going, even though you take the lead late in that game. But that was kind of Messi's offense. We got to get more. We don't have enough. We got to have more opportunities. We got to get more first downs. We got to be better on third down. Got to be better on first down. And so he's got all those guys preaching that by the time they left of having more drives. Too many three and outs, one of the highest percentages in football.
Yeah, they got to be more. Got to be move those chains on offense. And look, and you know, one of the best things to help your defense, obviously, is have that offense on the field a little longer. Give them some time.
Let those guys on the side.
And those guys have got to play better. So, but I think as far as Adam, pretty good jump to see a guy come in. They make the pick of Adam Gase and Joe. Look, we've been around a lot of head coaches over the last 10, 15 years.
And
to have a guy start out like this and capture the attention of the NFL and the pundits to rank him that high, I think it's a pretty good indication that this is the right guy for the right time for this franchise.
People feel good about their head coach.
Yep.
And we haven't had that in a long, long time. We've had a lot of bad stories around here.
Yep.
This has been a good one. I can't wait to see what year two is going to look like here for Adam Gase.
And we got a birthday boy tomorrow. Happy birthday, Joe. Joe Rose, birthday tomorrow.
I'm joining a...
You're joining the...
The 6-0.
6-0 club. Woo! 6-0. Today you're 59. Tomorrow
I'm
60.
50. I'm 59, which means I'm getting liquored up tonight. I'm bringing in 60 hard. I'm telling you that right now.
Oh.
Yeah, I chase that wife around a little bit and enjoy myself.
Well, I want to wish you a happy birthday. Thanks, I'm sure everyone out there feels the same way about
Appreciate it.
Let's get to some of these questions on here before we move on. Nick Johnson, what's going on with the offensive line? Well, nothing's going on with the offensive line. The big question, the big concern with that offensive line, I was talking to one of the programs we had this last week. Joe, if I have two big concerns for this football team, it's Mike Pouncey and it's Ryan Tannehill, because both are joined at the hip.
True.
You know, Ryan Tannehill's production behind Mike Pouncey is always going to be better than without Mike Pouncey. So as long as Mike Pouncey's there, I think Brian Tannehill, there's good things for Ryan Tannehill. I'm not saying that if Mike's not in there, then Ryan's not going to be successful or do good things, but boy, they're just joined so tightly, and Mike means so much to that offensive line that they'll find that other guard. They'll find that left guard. I'm not worried about that. But the health of Mike Pouncey to me is paramount for this team.
Mike's program is going to be completely different. If you come to a practice, there's a good chance you'll watch Mike Pouncey on the side, and they're going to be real careful with him. The goal and the game plan is to get him through 16 regular season games, and there may be rust a little bit in there, and they're just counting on this guy being ready to go. But listen, when Pouncey's in there, we're a lot better football team. The guard play is better, and I think the quarterback play is better, too.
I think the thing's going to be interesting to watch during training camp, Joe, is do they sprinkle a little bit in for Mike Pouncey? Do they get him out there in a little bit of intense action a little bit?
I can't see him going
without any practice at all, and then week one saying, hey, line up, you're starting this one. You know, I just – look, he's a good player. He's been there. He's done that. He knows what his assignments are. He knows what calls to make. He makes everybody better in that offensive line. But asking him not to do anything during training camp at all and jump out there in week one, that's a pretty tough hill to climb.
Got to get him a little preseason time. There's just no way. Yeah. I'm not saying he has to play two of the four games, but he's got to get some snaps in there.
Dave Lefkowitz, always great to see Bo Camper and Buckethead together. Joe, you can you ever get rid of that?
I'll bet I hear Buckethead at least once a day.
Well, especially
probably
on the radio,
because
that's where it grew with
Rene Latchman.
Rene Latchman,
friggin' manager of the Marlins.
The only manager the only manager I ever watched that chewed a toothpick the whole time.
Yeah. But he got going on this Buckethead. What are you in here, Bucket? I think I got him the day I called him coach instead of skipper or manager. And I called him a coach. He goes, coaches are in football, Buckethead. Yeah. And that just started it.
It's like calling it a locker room instead of a clubhouse, right?
They hate that too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a clubhouse, and I'm a manager. Right. That's right.
Louis Maldarelli, Jim Bo, who do you see as starting left guard for us? I'm hoping we grab Mangold or Franklin. We talked about this with Alan the other day. You know, there's still some big-name guys out there. Mangold's one of them. Franklin's another. Two offensive linemen. You know, one Franklin, a guard. Mangold is a guy that could be a backup center or play, you know, be a guy that could help out at the guard position if need be and give you a little insurance to Mike Pouncey. Don't know if they're going to do that or not, but it's funny, Joe, how many guys, how many free agents are still out there? You know, Revis is still out there. These two guys are out there. There's a number of free agents out there that have big name recognition, probably have some tread left on the tire, that that right now are unemployed.
I believe when it's all said and done on this 53-man roster, we're going to have some veterans. I think there's a good chance we're going to have a defensive tackle.
Yep.
A veteran defensive tackle, give you 15 or 20 snaps. It's done it and has a little tread left on the tire that can help you out. Those rookies, all those young guys coming in, Bo.
Yep. As far as those guys, as far as Mangold, as far as Franklin – I don't know that the Dolphins feel like they need to go that way. I think, you know, they got Ted Larson to come in.
I think they like the group of guys they have right now.
He'll compete at that left
left
guard spot.
Right.
They also bring in Asiata. He's got some work to do, but he's going to get a chance to go out there and compete. They've got Steen. They've got Urbeck. They've got some other guys back there. The depth on the offensive line, a little bit better than it was last year. So I think they may be content going in, and I wouldn't be surprised if going into training camp they don't go after either one of those two guys.
Yeah. And, you know, he knows Franklin. He's very familiar with Franklin. Yeah. So if he thinks it's an upgrade and they've watched tape, they know he got released. Why'd he get released? They can look at it. They make calls. They can watch all of it. They watch tapes of every game from every team up close.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, yeah, we'll see. The only thing for me about Mangold is that insurance policy for Pouncey. That's the only thing about that that's intriguing to me about those two guys.
I agree. If he's healthy, which he's getting healthy again right now as well, but I think he'd definitely be an upgrade if you could get him. I don't know. They've talked about him at guard and center, but it'd be a good center to have on the team.
Yep. Question with him is, does he want to go somewhere and be a backup and maybe not play?
Be a
swing guy.
Right.
I mean, this guy's been a center. He's been a Pro Bowl center. He's been an All-Pro.
Big
he's been playing great football for the Jets as long as he's been there. So a lot of it depends on what he wants to do. Dale Steinberg, what are they doing about Jarvis Landry? We talked about Jarvis early on. I don't think there's any animosity in there. I don't think it's a situation where there's any butting heads. Certainly they may not be eye to eye on the numbers and where they want to be. But I think both parties are committed to getting the job done. And Jarvis Landry signed for this year, Joe. I can't imagine Jarvis Landry. Now, Jarvis Landry, he won't be a free agent next year if he doesn't get this contract. I think he's got one more year, or they've got an option.
They've got a year, I think they have an option on his deal, or they can tag him, obviously. There's different things they can do to time up.
I don't get into the minutia of those contracts, but I just think by the time, unless something dramatic changes, I don't see Jarvis Landry coming out of this season without a new contract.
Bo, he's Adam Gase. He said, look, we take care of everybody on this team. You're a priority. We know what you do. Yep. We like you. We want you to be a big part of this. And you know what? Everybody's making a big deal about it. Checks don't start rolling in until September.
Exactly.
He'll be taking care. I just have trouble believing he's not going to have a new contract by the time the season starts.
Yeah, no doubt. Christopher Dunkley, what are your thoughts on Raekwon McMillan? Is it hard to grade linebackers and walkthroughs? Do you think he will show us something in camp? Yeah, it is hard. I think, but you can watch him run. You can watch him in pass coverage. You can watch those types of things. But, you know, what you really want out of Raekwon McMillan is a guy that can step up at the line of scrimmage, stone some guy at the line of scrimmage, and make a play is what you're looking for. And you're not going to find that out until you get into pads. I've heard good and medium to good things about Raekwon McMillan, and it's all opinion based, not fact based.
I have these thoughts just going back to when you learn a new offense, you learn a new defense, and you're thinking about all these assignments, and it slows you down. It can make you look like, how the hell did you draft this guy? Except for Charles Harris, who's just coming off the ball and going, dude, go get him.
Look, you're a defensive end, Joe. I always say, if you're a defensive end and you can't grasp a playbook, then you're a dumb son of a bitch, because really there's not that much you can do, right? You're a defensive end. You can go – there's three ways you want to go and one way you don't want to go. You can go straight ahead, left, or right. You don't want to go backwards.
Right.
And that's it. And it's the same as a pass rusher. Pass rusher, you go out, no, you can only go one way. You're going to go one way to the quarterback, and that's it.
Boy, I'll say this, though. Every one of those rookies, they now know what's expected of them. They better know every one of their assignments so that when they come back to camp in late July, they know what the hell they're doing out there, so they can go full speed and they don't have to think about it. That college playbook in their mind should be gone. They should be zoned in. By the way, Bo, if they didn't know it at the end of OTAs and minicamp, their ass needs to be over here. Yeah. I don't know what the rules and regulations are, but they got a whole bunch of little classrooms over here. Yeah. Call somebody.
I don't think there's any
tutoring.
I don't think there's any anything that says they can't come in here and work out of camp. Now
call a veteran.
They're off until the 20th when they got to be back. So they really only have about 2 weeks off because they just got done with this little extended rookie deal that they got going, this team building and all the stuff they've done there. So they've got a short time before they get back. So you're right. They've got to get in the book. But I think Raekwon McMillan is one of the guys. When training camp starts, I think him and Tankersley, two guys you really need to keep an eye on and see what they are. Because I think everyone would like to see those guys turn into be impact players, even if it's in a rotation basis.
Right.
They can come in, play, do something. And you'd like to see a guy like Tankersley have the same impression. And it's funny because my impression of Xavier Howard for the limited time we saw him was, this guy can play. There's no doubt in my mind. I read in the paper and I look at some guy and they're going, well, you know, it was a little sketchy. A little bit. Am I missing something with Xavier?
I don't think you are. You saw the Brandon Marshall game. I saw it. He ran his routes for him for a full game. And I just think he's got a chance to be really good. I talked to him for a while at Hard Rock for an event we had. And he says he just feels like a different guy because he's so healthy.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any problems with his knees right now. Plus, he's been going – got all these specialty camps now for training, Bo.
Yeah.
Hip movement.
Yeah.
Coming out of your break. Now, I didn't even know.
It's got
specialized quarterbacks, very wide receivers coming in and out. They got it for defensive backs.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. So, look, if Tankersley can be somewhat in that category, then you kind of hit a home run. With that, Steve Santana, we need the young guys to step up, get the next man up mentality. Did a pretty good job last year of kind of creating that next man up mentality and doing it in a positive way. Look, some of these young guys are going to need to step up. I think, Charles Harris has got to have to be an impact guy.
Right off
the bat. He's got to make something happen. And he's shown that he's got the ability. And not only that, Joe, he's reaching out to guys. He's reached out to Jason Taylor. He's reached out to Cam Wake. He's reached out to these guys. He's trying to get here's a guy that's trying to do everything he can to make sure that when he comes back, he's got his best opportunity to either be a starter or being a guy in the rotation that you can't ignore.
He's a first-round pick that wants to look and play like a first-round pick, and Bowie's giving himself every opportunity by reaching out, not backing down during practice with his spin move. He comes in with his spin move as part of a speed rush. He's already ahead of the game. He's going to be fun to watch, but Bo, we do need – last thing I want to hear about is the last six draft picks only playing special teams and not helping at all on offense.
No, you'd like to see one of those guys
some
step
of those guys
up
gotta play.
And be a player for you. Facebook question. Do we keep six wide receivers? I think we have six solid guys. Joe, I don't know what they normally keep. They normally keep five? Keep a guy on the practice squad? Or I'm not sure what the numbers are at the receiver position.
We activated four plus a return guy.
Yeah.
So
if you count Jakeem is one of the receivers.
Right. Jakeem's an interesting one, boy, because Jakeem, before we talk about him being a receiver, he's got to sell them that they can trust him catching punts.
Yep.
And if he can't catch punts,
he doesn't have a spot here.
Trouble, no. It's going to be tough.
A guy that's got I'll give you this. He's done a lot of work during the offseason. He brought Matt Darr down to Texas to work with. He's been working hard on it. And look, because I think he knows, like everybody knows, you go through four preseason games, you leave three balls on the ground, you're not making this team.
Too many.
You're not making this team. It's not going to happen. And that's before you can talk about him as a guy, as counting him as a wide receiver guy, just an athlete or whatever.
Right.
Guy's got to make the team by catching punts. There's no question about that.
And then from there, anything else you get him, but they got to trust him as a return guy. He's got great speed. Once he has the ball, scary.
Yep.
Scary, crazy stuff. He can really run.
Yeah, and the kid, 81, what's the kid from kid who came out and had a good training or good where am I at here? Oh, Drew Morgan. Drew Morgan has a lot of guys talking.
Drew Morgan, undrafted guy,
that's put himself into the mix. So,
Drew Morgan did a good job.
Isaiah Ford, Drew Morgan, Jakeem Grant, Leonte Carew. And those are the guys after the starting three. that have to find a way to make a spot on the roster.
I feel like there's
going to be pretty crowded.
A position
there.
Or two open. Yep. The first three are set. First three are set, taken care of. We're really counting on those guys. Maybe the best three guys we've had in forever. So
Mallory Floor Carl says, who's going to be the fourth receiver? Will it be Carew, Grant, or maybe the rookie Ford? That's the mix.
And I'm going to go with Leontay Carew if you're asking, just because of experience. Yep. He came clean. By the way, that's been the other thing. I feel like we got a bunch of guys who went to counseling. Everybody's coming clean on, my attitude wasn't good. Yep. I'm not used to being the fourth guy. I didn't work hard enough, and I wasn't very good on special teams. That's why I was in street clothes.
That's another thing to me about this team and a change in this organization. Usually it's blaming someone else. Now these guys are all, hey, I'm not blaming anyone else. It's me. I got to get better. I've got to do this. And certainly this comes from the organization, from the coaching staff.
Right.
Saying, hey, look, I can tell you everything you need to do, but until you do it, until you believe you got to do it, I'm just barking up a tree. And I think these guys – look, I think, that coaching staff has become like E.F. Hutton. I know there's a bunch of young people out there that don't know who E.F. Hutton, but those old commercials, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen.
Yeah.
And I think that's the case in that locker room.
I don't think they bullshit around with how everybody stands. They've got a bunch of mirrors that look at you, and they tell you the truth when you look into them, so you don't think, well, I don't think I played that bad.
Yep.
No, you're not playing well enough.
It's funny because it used to be, back in the day, I mean, you'd play a good game and you'd watch film and you go, man, I stunk. I got to do better. And then we went through a period of time where guys would play like crap and you go, hey, tough guy out there. Go, no, I thought I had a good game. You're like, what?
What? I gave up two sacks, but I was good on the other 64 plays.
And now I think it's come around the other way where guys are looking inside and saying, hey, I got to, those guys, I can get some advice from them. They can show me what I need to do, but I got to do it myself.
Hey, I'm going to give you another one quietly for Dolphin fans out there. We got a defensive tackle that's about 335. Said he wants to be at 320, which tells me the team told him his ass needs to be at 320. You don't think that's going to be – he's the one that came out and said what the weight was. All of a sudden, the Riders are like, great.
Jordan's another guy.
See, in late July, we'll find out if you got down to 320 because apparently the team thinks – basically, you've been playing too heavy. You've been out of shape, and that's why you take plays off.
Yep.
So,
look, Jordan's another guy that stood up in front of the cameras and the microphone and said,
"That's what I'm talking about.
I got to get better. I've got to figure it out. I've got to learn how to be a pro and play every single down." And so, we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we had a couple guys, man. That's right.
There's guys,
hey, come on over here, Riders. Here, I played like crap.
Played like crap.
Took plays off. I got to be more consistent.
Yep.
I know it. The team has obviously made me aware of it, but I know that I didn't play well enough.
Yep. Romel O'Connor, please let Jay Ajayi know that I noticed him looking towards the side. Let Jay Ajayi know that I noticed him looking towards the side in which the play was going right before the snap. Maybe suggest a visor to not let the defense see his eyes. What do you think about that, Joe?
He ran in his last 12 games for as many yards as anybody.
I'd like to know what seat this guy sits in where he can see his eyes and what he's looking at.
Jay Ajayi had as many yards in the last 12 regular season games as anybody in football.
Yeah.
So I know he had the 300-yard games.
Well, look, if you look at any good running back, they're going to stand back there and they're going to look all over the place. Their eyes are going to go all over the place. So I wouldn't.
That's a new one.
But the other thing is, I remember, I think it was a Big O that said if you're a defensive lineman, you got to be able to get up and see and look and find the running back. Joe, if you stand up and look and find that running back, you know where you're going to find yourself? About 8 yards down the field in the other direction.
Right.
That whole thought of you need to look and see. Joe, as a defensive lineman, as a linebacker, my eye was always on the guy trying to block me.
Right.
Because that guy's going to take me to the football.
Right.
I didn't look at the back. At one point, when you kind of know that you're going in the right direction, okay, then you peek and look for, try to find where it's at. But
you ain't standing up and waiting.
If you're peeking,
no.
You know, that was a Paul Soliai problem his first couple years. Snap the ball, he'd get up there and peek and get driven right back. Once he learned to get low, but yeah, right. I don't. Yeah, look, I appreciate your thought and understand. Yeah, if he's tipping, if he's giving a tip, Joel will tell Jay that you sent that in, and you can take a look at that during training camp.
I don't think I'll say that.
Alex Pellegrini, what do you guys think of Isaac Asiata? Good, nice guy, good talker. I think he got overwhelmed a little bit in these OTAs and mini camps. I talked to him after one. I said, Isaac, how practice is going? He goes, man. He goes, I'm struggling out there. So here's
another
guy
said, I'm not winning too many battles.
Yeah, he knows. Well, I give him a little credit. He's battling against a pretty big guy out there, a couple guys that.
I think it's fair to say is whatever you think of the Pac-12 and the defense alignment in the Pac-12.
Yeah, they're not Ndamukong Suh.
He didn't see Ndamukong Suh. No. And I'm guessing Ndamukong Suh didn't take it easy on him
up. I'm sure. Christopher Dunkley, I love your show. I wish it was every day. You need a raise. I don't think either one of us would concern. I don't know that we'll ever get a raise because they keep giving Leon raises. Leon's been through like three raises since we started.
Leon's getting paid.
He's getting paid big time.
He's getting paid
big time, Leon.
He got a lot of teams.
Travels around, goes on vacation.
Oh yeah, NFL teams, other teams interested in.
Yeah,
him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Supply and demand.
Yeah, he's looking for the dough. He's making it rain out there. Big money. Big money Leon. Let's start calling him Big Paper Leon. Keep that big cash.
The big paper?
Big paper. A lot of cash in your pocket. Big Paper Leon. All right, Joe, that's going to do it, man.
That's it?
That's it for the day. 2:30, Chinese dentist time. Time to get out of here, man. All right?
You got it.
Joe, you have a good weekend.
Thank you, Bo.
You guys have a good weekend. We'll be back on Monday. Leon, regular time Monday, 4:30. And so far as that, there'll be some changes to the show. We'll let you know. In fact, we're on Facebook Live today, right? I should have mentioned that early on. We're on Facebook Live, and I think we're going to kind of get there eventually, be there. It'll be a little winding road, but we'll get there.
Sounds good, Bo. It's always fun to come in here and do a little Mel Bonding, man.
We're out. See you on Monday.